D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary. At Bet365, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, Nick Frazier here with you today. Willie Donick and David Janes out. I hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. How was your weekend, Derek?
The weekend was pretty good, I would say. Went out to dinner, McCall and I, on Saturday. Yeah, Saturday. Went out to dinner, and because it was her birthday weekend, which is her birthday today. Happy birthday. And outside of that, you know, spending a little time with one of my good friends. He came by, and we chopped it up for a while. And, you know, it was weird because there was really – I know there were sports on, Adam, Nick. I know there were sports on, but it didn't capture me. It didn't draw me in. I tried to watch a WNBA game. I watched majority of it. But I wanted to watch the Arena League game. Didn't get a chance to watch that. I was listening to some of it because I was in the car. Chase, Big Joe, good job. So I listened to a little bit of it. But it just didn't grab me, man. And should I be upset about that, Adam?
I don't think so.
Because we got about – because you get so used to, like, even last week because you know why? Game sevens. They were on, whether it be the NBA Finals or the NHL Finals, Game 7. So you wanted to see those games. So your weekend had a little pizzazz to it, you know? This week it was just like, I found myself watching a movie in the middle of the day on a Sunday. I think it was Sunday and Saturday.
Which movie?
I forgot what it was. Oh, my goodness. What was it? Man. It was... I forgot what it was. I forget. I ended up watching Intern, which I never seen before. The Intern with De Niro and Anne Hathaway. Oh, that was a great movie. I had never seen it. That was a great. I would recommend that movie 10 out of 10 times. Great movie. Never seen it. Great movie.
That's one word to describe it.
You didn't like it?
I don't remember it. I don't remember it being memorable. That's the fact that I don't really remember it.
Yeah, I guess
so. It didn't stick with me.
Okay.
But you know what? It's that time of the sports calendar. The major sports, minus baseball, are transitioning to vacation mode. NFL training camp is still about a month away. It's that sleepy time of the sports calendar. But speaking of sleepy time, I didn't get much sleepy time last night because my 3.5-year-old boy, Arlo, he's a big boy. He's 40-plus pounds. He's tall. And when he wakes up in the middle of the night in his bed, he likes to come upstairs to our bed.
Ah.
And who are we to deny him? He wants to snuggle up with his parents. The issue is that when he gets in the bed, he dominates the bed. He sleeps diagonally. He's headbutting me or he's kicking me or my wife. And last night it was around 1 o'clock in the morning. He gets up. I go downstairs. I bring him upstairs. He needs to bring his pillow upstairs.
They got to bring everything.
And his water cup upstairs. And I get back in bed. I'm trying to fall back asleep. And he's kicking me and kicking me. I'm like, all right, guess I'm sleeping in the guest room. So I walk downstairs. I get settled in the guest bed. And before I close my eyes, I just, as we all do, scroll through my phone. And the first thing that pops up, the Nashville Predators making an overnight trade, which has since been made official. The Predators traded Colton Sissons and Jeremy Lauzon to the Vegas Golden Knights for left-handed defenseman Nick Hague in a conditional third-round pick. The condition on that pick is that it becomes a second-round pick if the Vegas Golden Knights win two rounds in the 2026 Stanley Cup playoffs. Now, at the time, Derek, when the reporting was coming out that this trade was being made, it was Colton Sissons and Jeremy Lauzon for Nick Hague. And Nick Hague was being signed to a 4-year contract with a $5.5 million cap hit. And when I saw that, I said, this trade doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And now that it's out that the Predators are also getting a conditional third-round pick in the deal because they are retaining half of Colton Sisson's salary, it makes me feel a smidge better. I emphasize that word, smidge better. Because realistically, you could see the Predators acquiring a conditional third-round pick that becomes a second-round pick and a trade deadline deal for either Colton Sissons or Jeremy Lauzon, because both of them will be playing on expiring contracts this coming season. But they are no longer here. Nick Hague is in the building. And I've got some questions.
Okay.
So here is a quick scouting report of Nick Hague for those of you who have never heard of Nick Hague. Nick Hague has played 6 seasons in the NHL. He's played 364 NHL games, all with the Vegas Golden Knights. He is, let me double check, he is 26 years old, so he is younger. That's not a bad thing. He is a gargantuan individual. He is one of the biggest defensemen in the NHL. He is 6'6" and 245 pounds. So if this hockey thing doesn't work out, he could probably play power forward in the NBA.
Yes.
But Nick Hague has mostly played a third-pairing role for the Vegas Golden Knights. Now, he has seen time with better defensemen for the Vegas Golden Knights, and the Golden Knights have some excellent defensemen. He did play a lot with Alex Pietrangelo, who is one of the Golden Knights' top defensemen. But mostly he played on a third-pairing role.
Okay, before you finish that, can I ask you this?
Because of course you can ask me anything.
You're going down the measurables and everything else. I do recall, and I did watch the draft too.
And we will get to the draft.
This is the first time I've watched the whole first round of an NHL draft.
And I have thoughts on the presentation of the NHL draft.
Oh, my goodness.
As I'm sure you do as well.
Yes, a lot of them. It ain't good. But I thought I vaguely heard last week, not only you, not only Jarrett, but Willie, talk about getting that guy in that sweet spot. Not a rookie, a guy that you see potential in, a guy that has some seasons up underneath his belt, but still young enough that he fits in to your process, you know, your vision of where you want to go as a team. Win now, but also prepare for the future. Doesn't he kind of sort of fit that mold which y'all were talking about last week?
I see your point. It is valid. I have been discussing that over the past couple of weeks, that the Predators should find a younger player that they can bring in. I was specifically talking about younger players who needed the change of scenery. I'm not sure Nick Hague qualifies. Here's the issue. That contract is objectively bad. And there is a website known as AFP Analytics. AFP Analytics is a website that specializes in NHL contract projections. So I use that website a lot around this time of year because they do a good job. They have their own analytical model where they're able to project the contracts for free agents in the NHL. And after this trade was reported, this is the tweet from AFP Analytics. It also includes a chart with lots of pretty colors and big numbers and stuff. But here is the tweet from AFP Analytics. Quote, Nick Hague traded to Nashville and signs a 4-year, $5.5 million per season contract. Good on him and his agent. Stop. When that's the first thing that's said, you know it's going to get bad. We can oftentimes come up with comps to justify a deal even if we don't agree with them. We couldn't here. Acquisition cost plus contract is really questionable for the team. In a vacuum, the Nick Hague contract is objectively a bad contract. You do not pay a third-pairing defenseman $5.5 million per season. I believe his previous cap hit was 2-point-something. He received a 200% raise, a 100% raise? I'm not good with percentages. He doubled his...
How many years he have left on that contract again?
His previous contract was expiring.
Okay.
So this is a new contract that starts this coming season. You do not pay third-pairing defensemen $5.5 million per season. Full stop. It is not an adequate use of resources. Now, I know he's big, and you can't teach size.
Where do they sit as far as the salary cap, the National
Let
Predators?
Me double check.
Because maybe like, and Willie has said this.
They have roughly, you know, $12 million of cap space. So okay. They're not hurting for cap space.
But over the length of the contract, will it turn out to be not such a bad contract?
Now, Willie, who isn't here, would argue that the salary cap is going up. Yes. So $5.5 million isn't a huge deal, perhaps as it might have been a few years ago. But it's just... I don't see this being great value. Mm-hmm. Again, I feel better about the trade this morning than I did last night when I was struggling to fall back asleep because my son was giving me roundhouse kicks to the back as he was trying to settle in last night.
Well, be lucky you don't have two because I experienced that double time, okay?
Yes, okay. Michael in Madison says a 100% raise would be doubling his salary, 200% would triple it. So it was a 100% raise, basically. More than a 100% raise. Thank you, Michael in Madison, again. Math is not my strong suit. But clearly the Predators see value in Nick Hag. I would describe Nick Hag in one sentence as a bigger, slightly better version of Lauzon. Slightly better. It may be a wash, but it just, this is the second trade that the Predators have made over the past couple of weeks where I'm scratching my head going, does Barry Trotz understand the values of certain players? We talked about this with Eric Halla a couple of weeks ago. I told you, Derek, that my issue with that trade is that Barry Trotz gave up a fourth-round pick to acquire Eric Halla when it should have been the other way around. The Devils should have given the Predators an asset to take Eric Halla off their hands. And I just – look, Jeremy Lauzon was injured for most of last season. Mm-hmm. Jeremy Lauzon's sort of grow on trees. Colton Sissons, I do want to take a moment to say goodbye to Colton Sissons because few players have played as many games for this organization as Colton Sissons. Can you believe, Derek, that Colton Sissons played nearly 700 games for the Nashville Predators? Seventh all-time in franchise history. He played parts of 11 seasons with the Nashville Predators. I believe he made his NHL debut when Barry Trotz was still coaching the Predators.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
So he would have played for Trotz as a coach, Laviolette, Hines, and Brunette. Hmm. So, you know, we bid farewell to Colton Sissons. One could argue the greatest single-game performance in Predators history, his hat trick in Game 6 of the 2017 Western Conference Final as the Predators punched their ticket to the Stanley Cup Final. And just a great guy. Someone I always had time for. So, Predators... Yes, thank you. I have a soft spot in my heart, Nick Frazier, for Sarah McLachlan. So long, Colton Sissons. We will remember you. Hashtag Sissons scored. I do want to take a moment to say goodbye to Colton Sissons. A great guy. A good, solid player for this team for a very long time. But I just think that I'm wondering if Barry Trotz, and Jared even texted me, mentioning the Luke Shen trade too. Because remember, Luke Shen was traded from the Predators to the Penguins. And then, I believe it would have been Novak and Shen for Bunting in a fourth, I want to say. And then the Penguins got a second round pick by trading Shen to the Jets. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that trade works out. But I do wonder at times if Barry Trotz truly grasps how players are valued around the league. This move, this Nick Hag move, and the Brady Martin draft pick as well, which we'll talk about, this trade overshadows the Predators' number five overall pick, I should say. But it does feel, and I'm cribbing this from Jared, it does feel that Barry Trotz is GMing like Barry Trotz the coach, that he's valuing things that he valued as a coach, which maybe GM should not value as much. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but if you, but if you're working in unison with your head coach, and listen, this may end up being a problem regardless, because, and you guys are right when you talk about Barry possibly, you know, GMing like a head coach, but in reality, you know, wouldn't you want both of those individuals to be on the same page, looking in the same direction? But here is the problem, I think, or it can't end up being the problem. Are you building this team, or are you allowing Coach Bruno to build this team? Are you building the team you want and you would coach, or are you building a team based on, you know, Coach Bruno's coaching style and what he wants from this team? That's the question, especially in a situation like this. Are you building it for the head coach that you have, or are you building it for the head coach you used to be? And maybe that – I'm not going to say that brand of hockey doesn't work, because you see what Florida did. But Florida, they're a hell of a scoring team too. You know, they play offense just as well as they play defense.
One texter says, Trotz no longer gets the benefit of the doubt. Moves are not making sense, so there is no faith in whatever the hell he is doing. Draft picks, contracts, or buying at the right time, or selling at the right time. And Derek, I made this point. Jason, Big Joe were kind enough to have me on a little bit early today to talk about everything that's been going on with the Predators over the past several days. And we've talked about this on our program as well, that when the Predators announced that Barry Trotz was returning as GM, as the successor to David Poile, Predators fans, I think, by and large, were thrilled. Predators fans love Barry Trotz.
Oh, absolutely.
It's. I remember, I believe it was Jeff Merrick, who's a popular hockey podcaster, worked with Elliot Freeman at Sportsnet. Now he does his own thing. I believe Jeff Merrick said at one point, if you don't like Barry Trotz, there's something wrong with you, not with Barry Trotz. And I agree with that. I have a tremendous amount of respect for Barry Trotz. I have always enjoyed talking to Barry Trotz. And because of that, he came in with a bit of a force field. Mm-hmm. That if things went awry, he made a bad move, he wasn't going to be vilified immediately because he's Barry Trotz. Mm-hmm. But over the past year, with how poorly the team played this past season, how those high-priced free agent acquisitions played this past season, the UC Soros contract, which at the moment doesn't look very good, although it hasn't even officially started, and therein lies the problem, I think that force field is gone. And I am curious, we did this exercise last week,
yes,
rating 1 to 5, Trotz as a GM and his ability to get the Predators back to Stanley Cup contender status. I think Barry Trotz, within the fan base, is in an interesting spot. Because, again, that force field is gone. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt because he's Barry Trotz. That's gone. And I'm curious how he proceeds from here and how Predators fans feel how he's been doing.
You don't want this fan base, because I don't think they will ever, like, completely turn on Barry. I think they will want him to go or want him to make some changes, but I don't think they will, because Barry to them, it's just like any, you know, anybody. If your career was, you know, sort of looked at as, I mean, either your playing career or your coaching career before you transition to a higher level, if your coaching career or your playing career is seen to be like great, and people just see nothing but good things, and when they think of the franchise, they think of you. When you do that, when you transition, there's always this bumper. There's always, I don't know how long it lasts, but there's that bumper. But even as it starts to get closer and it starts to wear thin, I think people will always treat Barry with grace. And they will always, you know, remember what he did, but say, hey, listen, he has to make changes. I don't think they will go full-blown, you know, scorched earth on him. But I think he has to understand that this fan base loves him, and I don't think you want to get to a point where the fan base is now saying, man, maybe Barry needs to whatever it is, because they see what he's doing hasn't worked or doesn't make sense to them.
615-737-1025. We already have a lot of reaction on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can also call us as well at 615-737-1025. The Predators make a trade. Broke overnight, finalized this morning. So long to Colton Sissons and Jeremy Lauzon. They're off to Las Vegas for left-handed defenseman Nick Hague, who signs a four-year contract with a $5.5 million cap hit. The Predators also receive a conditional third-round pick, which becomes a second-round pick if Vegas wins two rounds in the 2026 Stanley Cup playoffs. The Predators also retain 50% of Colton Sissons' salary, roughly $1.4 million. 615-737-1025. We will take your reaction. We will eventually get to the perhaps bigger news of the week, the Predators drafting Brady Martin with the fifth overall pick on Friday in the NHL draft. But first, we will take your reaction to the Predators trade this morning, broke last night. 615-737-1025. This week's Nashville's best deal is Tzatziki's. Craving something fresh and flavorful? Tzatziki's has you covered, from juicy chicken kebabs to perfectly grilled salmon. Every bite is bursting with Mediterranean goodness, and don't even get us started on the homemade sauces and dressing. Get half off a $25 gift card now while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. D-Mace Fingan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, Nick Frazier. Viva Las Vegas indeed for Colton Sissons and Jeremy Lauzon. They are off to Sin City in a trade with the Vegas Golden Knights. The Predators acquire left-handed defenseman Nick Hague. 6'6", 245-pound left-hand defenseman Nick Hague. And a conditional third-round pick. It becomes a second-round pick if Vegas wins two rounds in the playoffs next season. The Predators also retain 50% of Sissons' salary. We have a lot of reaction on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com at 615-737-1025. So let's run through these. Brandy on our text line says, Trotsky is making it hard for me to keep defending him with these choices. One texter says, Trotz has said they're open to Josi playing on the right side. Between that and Hague getting $5.5 million per season, wouldn't that suggest Hague is playing on the left next to Josi? It's an interesting point. I'll be curious to see what the Predators do there, because they have too many left-handed defensemen. Way too many left-handed defensemen. When your best right-handed defenseman is Justin Barron, you've got problems. So it'll be interesting to see what the Predators do there. Hague has shown an ability to play with top defensemen. Again, although he is mostly, or was mostly, a third-pairing defenseman for the Golden Knights, he did see time with Alex Pietrangelo, in Vegas this past season. So he's capable of doing it. I don't know if he's capable of doing it over a full season.
Do you think it would be better for... Which pairing do you think that he would get the most, you would get the most out of him? With Josi or Brady Shea?
Well, Brady Shea is also left-handed.
Yeah, so he's left-handed, so that counts it out.
Right. So it depends on what the Predators do in free agency tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, NHL free agency starts tomorrow, right when our show starts at 11 o'clock. So if the Predators sign a right-handed defenseman, if your left side is Josi, Shea, and Hague, I guess that's not terrible. It's not terrible.
No.
But again, I just $5.5 million per season for a third pairing defenseman.
Okay. What would I know he would have to play what you want from, if he plays excellent, everybody wants that. But what would be justifiable?
It's a good question. It's a good question, because Nick Hague is not a player who is judged on points.
Exactly.
He is not an offensive defenseman in the slightest. He has played 364 career games. He has 83 career points, 20 goals, 63 assists. He has never scored more than 5 goals in a season in his NHL career. Mm-hmm. So you're not grading him on that. So a lot of it depends on how well he defends and how well the Predators do when he's on the ice.
And isn't that what the Nashville Predators
They need to defend better. Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. No doubt about it. They need to defend better. But again, my problem isn't with the acquisition of Nick Hague. Uh-huh. Like the player, it's the player himself. I don't have an issue with Hague. I think he can be valuable. I think that the Predators, by making this deal and signing him to that contract, are overvaluing the contributions that Nick Hague can make. And sometimes teams pay more for that kind of stuff. The Predators absolutely overpaid Luke Shen in free agency for intangibles because he's a good leader and he's physical, all of those things. They overpaid him for that. So,
okay, here's another question for you, because some would say, and I like to bring, try to tie both sports in somehow, some way. I try to find a tentacle that reaches across both sports, which I'm talking about football and hockey. When you are not a good team, and we said this and we continue to say this about the Tennessee Titans, when you're trying to get certain players, more so marquee players, there's a tax you got to pay.
Mm-hmm.
The not so good tax. When you're not a good team, you got to pay a little bit extra a little bit extra for that individual. Maybe the Nashville Predators are in that position, that they may have to pay a little bit more for an individual because they're trying to become that good team. There's no, if they are the Florida Panthers, if they've done what the Florida Panthers have did so far, players are wanting to come to play for Nashville, right? Because they're winning. When you're not winning, what is the advantage outside of no state income tax? Nashville is a great place to live because they haven't shown within the last two seasons that they are headed toward being a consistent winning team.
I think that makes more sense in free agency. Yes. In this situation, it's he was traded.
Yeah.
And I believe Hague was a
But he had to have agreed to the contract in order for the trade to happen, right?
I imagine it was done in tandem.
Uh-huh.
I believe he was a pending restricted free agent, so okay, he had limited control over the situation. Okay. But I absolutely hear what you're saying. Jared and I argued about this a bit during the Stanley Cup playoffs with the state income tax thing, mm-hmm, because I do think that is an advantage. I don't think it's as big of an advantage as some people make it out to be. And when the Florida Panthers were terrible, free agents weren't beaten down their door to play for Florida, mm-hmm, so that they could take home more pay because the team was bad.
Yeah.
It only really is an advantage when you're good. Let's continue your reaction. Brad says, the third pairing defenseman from Vegas will be a second pair defenseman for the Predators. That justifies the contract for the new defenseman. The Preds have several good defensemen in Milwaukee, so I'm not sure why this move was necessary, but I get it. Jeff says, all valid points for and against. Don't look now, but aside from McCarron, Smith, Yossi, Forsberg, and Saros, the full rebuild has been completed, albeit in the most unorthodox manner. Polarizing for sure, but scorched earth is exactly the way I would characterize Trotz's decisions. Paul says the fan base is already going scorched earth on Barry Trotz after this crazy contract for a third-line D-man and passing on a projected 1C to draft a projected 3C, meaning Brady Martin. We'll get there. When this franchise is apparently allergic to top-line centers, feels like the bag was fumbled when they haven't picked that high in 20 years, and it feels like every pro sports GM in Nashville has to swim against the tide and be the smartest guy in the draft room, resulting in a lot of first-round disappointment. Now, look, we will get to the draft. And by the way, in hindsight, and I emphasize this part, in hindsight, mm-hmm, the Predators' decision to waive Dante Fabbro does not look like a great decision. Now, I don't remember being all bent out of shape when the Predators waived Dante Fabbro. I don't think I was up in arms about it. I thought it was a curious decision to just basically give Dante Fabbro away. And Dante Fabbro re-signed with the Columbus Blue Jackets over the weekend. He signed a four-year deal. His cap hit is just north of $4 million per season. Mm-hmm. And guess what? He's a right-handed defenseman. Sounds good for what the Predators need right now. It appears they fumbled the bag, or the ball, with Dante Fabbro. Again, that's in hindsight, because I don't remember being outraged about it at the time. Mm-hmm. But it goes back to what I was talking about earlier, with the feel-good story of Barry Trotz returning to Nashville as GM. I think that that part of the story is over. I think after the first season with the point streak and the surprise trip to the playoffs, Barry Trotz was riding high. And he did, he made some good moves that first year. They seemed to work by trading Ryan Johansson, signing Ryan O'Reilly and Gus Nyquist. You know, those moves seemed to work. Then it seemed that everything else that could go, everything that could go wrong for the Predators last season did. Mm-hmm. So it feels like Barry Trotz again, that so-called force field that he had that could protect him from criticism when he came back because he's Barry Trotz, I think that's gone. So the fan base right now between this trade, the selection of Brady Martin with the fifth overall pick on Friday, the way last season went, it hasn't been a great year for Barry Trotz. So I'm curious about how he goes about free agency. They still do have cap room. But as I said on Chase and Big Joe, Derek, before we go to break, one thing I said on Chase and Big Joe is this team's ceiling, as of right now, and things will change rapidly over the next 24 hours or so, this team right now, the 2025-2026 Nashville Predators, their absolute ceiling is what the 20, I guess that would have been the 2021-2022 Predators was, which was they sneak into the playoffs and then they run up against a Dallas or a Vegas or an Edmonton and just get their doors blown off. Like that's what the absolute ceiling for this Predators team on paper right now is, sneaking into the eighth spot and getting walloped.
Mollywop, basically.
So
I do want to ask you a question.
Sure.
But you can answer it.
Why don't
on the
you
other
tease
side.
It and yes. then I'll answer it.
You can answer it on the other side. It goes to one of our texters' question, not a question, a statement. He said he believed that Barry has already started to transition of rebuild. Mm-hmm. He said basically he threw scorched earth in there as well,
yes.
as well as the next texter, but he said Barry has gone scorched earth. My question is, do you think that's the case?
Do you truly believe that
Barry
Trotz
upon that question.
Is he playing 4D chess while the rest of us
exactly.
are playing checkers?
Absolutely.
615-737-1025. I'm a fan of Chinese checkers myself. 615-737-1025. We're just Chinese. You know, the saying is he's playing chess while we're playing checkers. Is Chinese checkers more advanced than regular checkers? What do you think, Brady?
I'd say so.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Not
Chinese
normal
checkers.
Rules.
615-737-1025. You can answer Derek's question. I will as well. And there is one thing about all of the moves that they've made that I do want to get to about the immediate future of the franchise. 615-737-1025.
This September,
Derek,
Tim McGraw
will be performing at the game. Trying Tixes? Rock the Cradle in Nashville, a meaningful event supporting newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. Get your tickets now at Rock the Cradle Nashville. .org. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. So, Derek, we had a texter. It was Jeff. Jeff said, all valid points for and against the trade of Nick Hague. Don't look now, but aside from McCarron, Smith, Yossi, Forsberg, and Saros, the full rebuild has been completed, albeit in the most unorthodox manner. Polarizing for sure, but scorched earth is exactly the way I would characterize Trotz's decision. So, for kicks and giggles, and as inspired by friend of the show, Jacob Underwood, who works with Willie on the Predators broadcasts, I have pulled up the Predators opening night lineup from a year ago. Mm-hmm. So the 18 skaters and two goalies that they had on the ice for game one of the regular season last October against the Dallas Stars. The following players are no longer members of the team. Gus Nyquist, Tommy Novak, Philip Tomasino, Colton Sissons, Mark Jankowski, Dante Fabbroe, Jeremy Lauzon, Alexander Carrier, Luke Shen, and Scott Wedgwood.
Wow.
10 players who dressed for the Predators on opening night last season, 10 of 18, are no longer members of this organization.
So does that mean they are in a rebuild? Because
well, do you what I mean? if you listened to Barry Trotz last week during his news conference and his interview with Jared Stillman,
he's not.
Doesn't sound like he's rebuilding.
But when you start the next following season with 10 new faces on your opening day roster, that has to signal to people in the locker room that there's something different going on. Like, we're no way near the same team we were when you just talk about individuals on opening day. We're nowhere near the same team we were last year. And as much as, you know, you look at it as a player and you don't, you're not intending to think rebuild, it would sort of look like that process has begun in a major way. But you still have, you know, guys on the roster that are older individuals, Marshall Shaw, Brady Shin, Roman Yossi, Forsberg, Soros, guys that have been here. And not necessarily Brady Shin, those guys, but those are older individuals. Mm-hmm. But you still sort of have a top-heavy older team.
This is what I would love to know, and maybe I'll do this research at some point. Mm-hmm. The top 6 point scorers for the Predators last season are all in their 30s.
Yes.
Forsberg, Marchessault, Stamkos, O'Reilly, Yossi, and Shea.
And all those guys are still there.
And I wonder where that ranks league-wide. The youngest, highest leading point scorer, I guess you could say, last season was Luke Evangelista. He had 32 points in 68 games. In terms of rookies, I think they had 8 rookie skaters play last season. Let me confirm that. Yes, they had 8 rookie skaters appear in at least one game last season. Mm-hmm. The leading scorer among those rookies was Fedor Svechkov, who had 17 points in 52 games. And Chuck, on our text line, disagrees with me on my assessment that this team's ceiling is sneak into the playoffs as a wild card team and get stomped in the first round.
He thinks it's
He says on paper, we are better than just make playoffs and get busted first round. I think the whole league, for the most part, agreed with that assessment at the beginning of last year. You still have your core. It's a retool. Well, here are some questions I have about that. Who's playing second line center for the Nashville Predators? Because Barry Trotz told Jared last week that he doesn't want Steven Stamkos playing center anymore, right? Mm. Steven Stamkos played a lot of center last season. The Predators did not acquire Steven Stamkos to play center last season. But out of necessity, he had to play center last season. So let's say he's back on the wing. Well, Colton Sissons is gone. Are you going to trust Eric Halla to play second line center? No, thank you. It might be Fedor Svechkov by default. And having Fedor Svechkov, who again had 17 points last season in 50-plus games, centering Steven Stamkos, I don't think that's going to help Steven Stamkos score more goals. So, again, a lot can change. Free agency is tomorrow. We'll see what the Predators do in free agency. So things can change. But I just see a team for next season that, best case scenario, makes the playoffs near the end of the season and lasts maybe a week and a half in the playoffs. But here's the other thing, too. When you look at their salary cap situation past this coming season, keep in mind that the Predators are paying roughly $6 million, actually more than $6 million, roughly $6.5 million this season to Matt Duchene for buying him out. That drops by $5 million to $1.5 million in 2026-2027. So that's a big ticket item, dead money, off the books. The Predators have a lot of unrestricted free agents after this season, like Michael Bunting, Eric Halla, Cole Smith, Michael McCarron, Andreas Englund, Jordan Oesterle, Nick Blankenberg. They have a lot of players coming off the ledger. Your confidence level in Barry Trotz largely depends on how confident you are that those spots that are coming open will be adequately filled by all of the young players we've talked so much about, like Tanner Molendijk, Matthew Wood, Joachim Kimmel. You hope for steps up from Zachary LaRue and Fedor Svechkov, Brady Martin. Mm-hmm. Like, it depends on how confident you are in those young players. And the one knock against the Predators prospect pool, when you read the experts, like friend of the show Scott Wheeler, is that the Predators have a lot of depth in their pool. It's a deep pool of quality prospects, mm-hmm. but they're missing that top of the line, can't miss hotshot prospect. Maybe it's Brady Martin. The reaction from Predators fans this past weekend would suggest that it's not Brady Martin, and we'll get into that in the next hour. But it largely depends, Derek, mm-hmm. on how you feel about the future of the organization, because the roster as is, with the older players, mm-hmm. Ryan O'Reilly is 34 years old. Steven Stamkos is 35 years old. Jonathan Marchessault is 34 years old. Roman Josi is 35 years old with a head condition. Brady Shea is 31 years old. Philip Forsberg, I believe, is either 30 or 31 years old. UC Saros is 30 years old. Like, rebuilding teams are not full of 30-year-olds signed to long-term contracts. That's just not how it works.
No, it doesn't. Because you named out, you named, what, seven players?
Something like that.
That were unrestricted free agents after this season. Of those seven players, which players do you think more than likely will be back with the Nashville Predators? Because then that determines, too.
If I had to guess right now.
Yeah, if you had to guess right now. Based on what they've done.
I'm not sure you see Michael Bunting back after this season. Mm-hmm. He is a valuable trade deadline piece, I think. I don't think you see Eric Hollaback. Hollaback, that's funny.
Hollaback.
Yes. I don't think you see Michael McCarron back. I could see them re-signing Cole Smith, but that's not going to cost that much. Okay. These free agent defensemen, Osterley, Englund, Blankenberg, they're a dime a dozen. So
if not this season, which we've seen it will be minus 10 players from the previous opening day roster, the next following season is going to be even more.
There is going to be a lot of turnover.
The next couple of seasons.
Now, the question again is, how confident are you that the Predators have drafted the right players mm-hmm. who can take those spots? Fedor Svechkov and Matthew Wood and Tanner Mullendike, et cetera, et cetera. How confident are you? And that will largely determine how you feel about the direction of the Predators. Because Barry Trotz told you by telling Jared that he wants to be competitive this season. I just don't think that the 2025-2026 Predators have what it takes to be a true threat to the upper class of the Western Conference in the NHL. I do not see a roster on paper that can be legitimately competitive. And that wouldn't matter to me as much if Barry Trotz didn't say it mattered to him. And that's how Jared changed his tune, right? Jared was looking ahead. He was looking to 2028. Then he talked to Barry Trotz, and now he's judging Barry Trotz on this coming season. So welcome to Nashville, Nick Hague. You've already got a lot to prove, man, because Predators fans, they're not loving this deal. And again, on paper, Nick Hague, gargantuan individual, 6'6", 245 pounds, won the Stanley Cup with Vegas, ex-teammates with Jonathan Marchessault, and maybe even Eric Halla, depending on when Halla was with the Vegas Golden Knights. But again, let me go back and read to you that tweet from AFP Analytics. Again, a website that specializes in NHL contract projections. This is their whole deal. This is what they are paid to do. Nick Hague traded to Nashville and signs a four-year, $5.5 million per season contract. Good on him and his agent. We can oftentimes come up with comps to justify a deal, even if we don't agree with them. We couldn't hear. Acquisition cost plus contract is really questionable for the team. Really questionable. So
when they say acquisition cost, are they saying...
Now, to be fair, that was tweeted before the full details came out.
Okay.
But that was when we thought it was Sissons in Lausanne for Hague without the draft pick.
But now the draft pick is a conditional, right?
Yes.
It's a conditional draft pick. What do you make of them having to take on some of the salary? Even though, albeit it's only, what, $1 million?
Right. So
roughly.
Quickly... Every team is allowed to retain salary on, if I'm not mistaken, three contracts per season. Mm-hmm. So the Predators this coming season are retaining salary on two players, Colton Sissons and Matthias Ekholm, with his deal with the Oilers. So they have one retention spot, and retention spots are valuable. I believe it's being legislated out of the CBA, mm-hmm. the new CBA, which takes effect in a couple of years. But you see a lot recently these sort of third-party brokers mm-hmm. where it's a three-team deal and one team's whole purpose is we're going to take some of that contract of that high-priced player that you're trying to get from point A to point B. We'll take him for a second. You know, not a second-round pick. Yes. We'll take him for a second in time.
Yes.
And give him to the team you're actually trying to send him to by retaining some of his salary, and you give us an asset for our trouble. Okay. I don't think teams are going to be able to do that anymore in a couple of years, but that's valuable, especially for a team that may not be very good.
Yes, because it allows you to facilitate the trade a lot better, just in case that person doesn't have the, you know, cash or room per salary cap to do it. You can circumvent it another way.
Quickly, before we change the subject, I want to get back to Chuck's text. Mm-hmm. And Chuck was the one who disagreed with my assessment on the rebuild. He goes, how much of a threat were the 2017 Predators? It's a longer text, but stop. Now that Colton Sissons has been traded, we probably should have moved on from 2017 a long time ago. Now that Colton Sissons has been traded, the player who almost single-handedly got you into the Stanley Cup final 8 years ago, I think we need to close the book on, well, in 2017 this happened. Chuck, I appreciate you, and you're a devoted listener. I can't even get through this whole text. 615-737-1025. Okay, something else happened over the weekend that was overshadowed by the trade last night and this morning. The NHL draft. The Predators draft Brady Martin with the 5th overall pick. Did the Predators play it safe by drafting Brady Martin? We will discuss that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game.